All right, everyone, welcome to the Home Service Pro Podcast. We have with us today, Matthew Pratt. He is out of Florida, has a handyman company. Matthew, welcome to the call.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So handymanpratt.com. Matthew, tell us, how long have you been in business? How's it going and where are you at?
Well, I've been in business with Pratt Brothers Handyman Services, specifically in Florida, since 2020. I started out in Melbourne, Florida, moved my way down to Miami, and everything's been going, you know, fairly well. Miami's definitely a different beast than Melbourne. In Melbourne, I couldn't stop with the calls, like 15, 20 calls a day. But down here in Miami, it's, you know, trickles in probably 5-6 calls a week.
Okay.
Which isn't terrible. You know, it's enough, you know, with work and everything.
Sure.
I think, you know, there's a lot of competition in the area. So really where I find it the best is just getting good reviews on, you know, Nextdoor, Google, you know, all those other places. And, you know, just try to keep up with those reviews, you know, because that's what they expect from you when you show up, you know.
Right. So why did you make the move from, you know, to Miami?
Well, the move to Florida in general was for my now wife. You know, we met each other and we're seeing each other long distance. I'm originally from Ohio. And, you know, just it worked out. So I moved a little closer just to continue the relationship, not make it so strenuous. It was right before COVID hit.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously everything worked out. She's lived in Miami her whole life. And so that's why I kind of, you know, went down towards Miami, is just kind of be with her.
Sure. Awesome. So what are, like, you know, handyman is such a broad category. What do you focus on? Are you the 1 to 2 hour guy? Are you doing full day projects? Are you there for a week? What does that look like?
Oh man, it really depends. I get a lot of calls for drywall repairs and painting. And, you know, painting would just be a couple hours most times.
Yep.
But the drywall repairs, because of the material that you're working with, it takes a little while. Yeah, a couple of coats, so a couple of visits and things like that. Sometimes I get calls from contractors to come in and help out with bathroom projects and things like that, you know. So that's usually like a couple of weeks to a month, you know, here and there. But most of the time, it's just a couple of hours. You know, I show up, do what it is needed to get done. I mean, it could be simple as changing a light bulb over a staircase.
Sure.
You know, and it, you know, it gets kind of complicated in other scenarios. You know, we replace the tile floor or anything like that.
Yep. Okay. Awesome. And you've been doing this for quite a while. Is it 12 years? Is that correct? Or did I see since you were 12?
Since I was 12. Yeah. Actually, my father, he was in Tampa and he was building homes in Tampa with the company as a subcontractor.
Okay.
And he decided to come back to Ohio where we were, you know, be closer to his family and everything. And so when I turned 12, I just kind of tagged along with him towards a lot of different things that he did. He focused mainly on churches in the area, you know, really helped out. Like, did a lot of drywall, you know, carpentry, painting. I mean, we painted houses. I mean, all types of stuff.
Sure.
And I myself has always been interested in working with my hands. So any opportunity to fix something, I was on top of it. You know, the YouTube warrior for a long time, you know, like really looking up and doing research. And, you know, I used to spend hours with my dad talking about how to, you know, fabricate stuff, you know, anything from like a chair to putting together a trike, you know, anything really that we could get our, you know, get our minds wrapped on.
Yeah.
So it's always been part of my blood, you know?
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. I'm always interested in like how people generate business. And it's interesting what you said about your dad. So he was involved in the church. And then did working on churches then get him in there, and then all the people that went to the church would use him as well? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Oh yeah. Like he took, you know, he didn't believe in advertising. He believed in word of mouth. And so like we did, you know, other homes and stuff like that, but he would show up to these churches because a lot of the churches in the area that I lived in Ohio were more run down. They had a harder time finding people who could show up and do the work appropriately and in a timely manner. You know, my father was very experienced. And he too also, you know, just kind of did, if it needed fixed, he was fixing it. And so like the church would then refer him to, you know, a lot of the patrons that went to the church, you know, but we, like I said, we handled like a bunch of parishes, you know, within a radius of our city. So it wasn't just like specialized into one church directly.
Sure. Huh. I'm sure, I mean, I don't know if that was intentional or not, but like, what an interesting, I mean, I go to church. We're very involved in our church but where we go to church and where my office is are like 40 miles apart. So I usually, you know, commute in. And so I'm like, Yeah, it's very interesting how, you know, yeah, but for handyman services, and I would assume, like, I just imagine like all the old little ladies that like need help, you know, at that are
Absolutely.
yeah going to church. So yeah, what a great way to build a business. So awesome. So you followed love down to Miami, and so how, like, what are some things you're doing now to grow your business? Like, you know, if the phones are down, like, what are you doing? How do you go out there and generate leads?
Well, you know, it's a lot of posting online, as most people, like most of my clients, they all say the same thing. They've seen my reviews, you know, and the other section of clients that I'm getting is word of mouth, you know, a lot of referrals. People love referrals. So when I go and I work with clients, I try to tell them, you know, post a comment on, you know, anywhere about me, talk to your neighbors, you know, and things like that. When the phone lines come down, there's really not much you can do, you know, because again, the clientele down here, they have a wide variety of people that are available. Like our Home Depots, for instance, are just packed full of guys willing to show up for $20 for the day,
Sure.
you know, to get anything done, you know. But I guess this is really how I get a lot of repeat customers. And you know, I work closely with some companies that just doing standard, like nothing really crazy. Like a lot of the times I show up just to kind of assess the damage, you know, and direct them towards the proper, you know, people who could handle it with licenses and things like that. If it's something a little out of my league, you know, when it comes to like Banfield Pet Hospitals, and you know, sometimes it was through Trulieve locations as well as Jungle Boys and stuff like that. So it just really varies, you know, really how to get the work. You know, I try to leave my cards at locations, but I don't want to be known as the guy that puts pamphlets in everybody's mailbox. You know, I know it's good marketing, but it's still, you have to have a set of class, you know, like as you're not going to want to call the number that you see posted on a yard sign sitting at an intersection. That guy might not be very trustworthy, you know. So I try to be very careful to how I proceed. You know, I'd really prefer word of mouth or my reviews to speak for my company. Because as a handyman, I'm sure you've heard a lot of horror stories from handymen to show up and say they could do it, and then they end up like piecing it together. You know, you got bubble gum where it shouldn't be. And so like I try to like really let my reviews and let my clients speak for me, you know, because I want them to be confident when they hire me, not just, you know, I don't know if this guy's gonna do what he's supposed to do.
Have I almost wonder if you know, I agree with you 100% on what you're saying. I would be curious to know if like these community pages could do something for you. And I also wonder if I own a few short-term rentals down in Cape Coral, and you know, wrong side of the state, of course, for you. But you know, hey, like short-term rental people are always looking for a guy they can call, like, you know, like a great, reliable handyman that like can just get there and just get it done, like just do a great job. And so I almost wonder if like the, you know, using the power of social media could benefit you, but that's probably a conversation for another time. But so you're, you know, long term, like what's the plan with your business? Are you looking to get other people working with you, or are you wanting to get into bigger projects besides the drywall? Are you like, this is great, I'm living the dream? Are you loving what you're doing?
Oh, I do love what I'm doing, you know. So don't get me wrong. It's just being able to show up to people's houses. Sometimes I get three, four calls a day. You know, I just drive, you know, in between. It's little tiny things, which is perfectly fine. So my motto is no job's too small, you know, because I'm really trying to reach out to the community, to the people that need the help, you know, or like they just don't have time to do it themselves, you know, so they'd prefer to hire a person like me that can come in. Long term is definitely looking to get a couple more people on the team, you know. But they have to be trustworthy, naturally. Like I've tried hiring a few different guys, and they either break things day one or they don't listen to instructions. And now I'm apologizing to the client because they're allowing their 10-year-old to paint with them. You know, it's crazy how people just think they could do whatever they want. You know, they look at me and they go, "Oh, this guy's not serious." You know, it's like I'm very serious about my job and I'm very serious about my clients and making sure that what they expect is, you know, the same that I would expect for somebody coming into my house. So I am working on getting a license. It should be by August. I should have a small home repair license, which allows me to work on partitions as well as like a numerous amount of other things down here in Miami-Dade County that is, you know, outside of my jurisdiction that I'm technically allowed to do.
Sure.
So that would definitely help me reach towards HOAs, yep. You know, because we have a lot of HOAs in the area. And I've had a few calls from them. They said they would love to work with me, but because I don't have a license, I am insured, but I don't have a license, that they require a license for anything, you know, because it's a corporation's hiring to come to work on the property and everything. So
sure. Yeah, that makes
part,
sense.
You know, that's part of my long-term goals, is just basically get the license to be able to get, you know, more clientele. And I'm always looking for people, but it's hard when you don't have reliable people to take on those larger projects that you do need that help with.
Yeah. I think, you know, in my experience, we dabbled in handyman a little bit up here in Minnesota. And I think what it really came down to for us was it was really difficult to scale that level of craftsmanship, because like you're talking about drywall, and like what you can do in an hour might take the next guy two. And during the interview, that guy's like, both guys are sitting here telling you that they're experts. You know, they're like, yeah, I can fix this thing perfect. And so then how do you like scale craftsmanship? It really is a challenge. It's very challenging, I think. And there's people that have mastered it. You know, they've figured out how to scale these handyman companies, but a lot of them are not able to do like the, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 hour jobs, you know, just because of the amount of time. And yeah, we tried to scale it. We had 11 handyman on staff at one point, and boy, did we have problems. Like it was, it was just so many problems. And we'd have jobs. You're like, there's no way we can lose money on this. You know, it'd be like, whatever, like just go swap out a ceiling fan. And the ceilings are 8 foot tall ceilings. Like how hard can this be? It's already, you know, it's not that hard, right? Like hour and a half.
Right.
And you know, the guys end up having like coffee with the homeowner, and they feel bad, they reduce the price, it ends up taking like 4 hours rather than two. And I'm like, you guys, we just lost a bunch of money on this. And they're like, well, Susie was so nice. I'm like, okay, payroll is really nice too, so let's try to make that as well. So
right
yeah,
I think if I was to hire somebody to send out to a site for, like you said, to do a fan, I would be very strict about like time frame and everything, saying that this is what you're slotted in for, this is going to be the cost. Like I don't give the ability for my worker to set the prices and everything. So like I would set the prices with the client, and you know, and if they have another appointment that they have to and they miss that appointment, I mean, naturally that I can't send them again, you know. Yeah. Like I'm going to talk to them like, look, I needed you to be here, you weren't, you're telling me you had a coffee with the client instead. As right. Like, I understand that you want to have that, you know, that connection, but if you're on a time schedule, you have to apologize and say, I can't right now, but call me next time for another small project you got, and I'll see if I could schedule some extra time to have coffee with you, you know, or
right.
Any excuse to get yourself out the door, you know, because there for are sure. Some clients that I get that do like to hold me for an extra hour,
yep.
You know, just talk about their kids or talk about, you know, because it's difficult to always have somebody to come and have a conversation with.
For sure.
But you know, I'm the one that goes to do the jobs, so I set my own schedules, and it's a little easier for me,
yeah,
you know, than trying to set somebody else out.
Yeah, you understand the value of time and money and all that stuff, and yeah, for sure. Well, that's good. What would you say is, you know, the immediate need for the Miami area? Like, are the interest rates and the current, you know, economic environment impacting you, or like, what does that look like?
A need as in for work? What is the most work that would be a need?
Yeah, like what do you think? Like is there something that you feel is missing in Miami, or is it like, you know, hey, it's just a matter of getting your name out there and we're hustling? I have a few relatives that live in Miami, and I know like they brag about how it's like the best place in the world to live, and it's most consistent temperature, and it's like blah blah blah, you know, everything's so awesome there. So like it seems like it's just heaven on earth out down there in Miami. So I'm interested to see what you're witnessing.
Well, I mean, yeah, the weather's great. The people are amazing. You know, the culture here is rich. You know, everybody's they're very, you know, it's very rich in Cuban culture. You know, is where I'm from, Ohio, is you know, I guess they call it Midwest.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was on the East, I'm going to be honest. And the culture there is, it's, I guess it's American, you know, but at the same time, it's a lot of individuality going on.
Sure.
But down here is everybody's like big on, you know, family and events and everything.
Yep.
If you could look past the traffic, you know, you could really enjoy yourself down here.
Sure.
You know, the traffic is just ridiculous. But as for the need, I think just a big need is for reliable, honest people. You know, like, because There, you, dime a dozen. You know, you could literally throw a dart and hit somebody that could paint your house. You know, somebody could put a shed together. Somebody could install a front door. You know, I really don't hear a lot of issues of finding someone to do the work. It's finding somebody reliable to do the work. So it's just that I think that's really what is needed down here is just honest, reliable people who's this is how it's going to be. Like just today, one of my clients, he was asking me. He said, "I hired this contractor for this job. It's been since December to try to get the punch out done, and it just isn't happening. And there's still discrepancies. And now he's like, he's a week from opening, and there's still things he needs repaired. And he tried to have me to like come in and do it. I was like, just based off the time crunch and everything with other clients that I currently have, is like I'm unfortunately able to help him out with that. But it's that seems to be the same story I get from everyone that I work for." Is they hired this guy and you know he said he was going to do it either they don't show up it takes months at a time to get it done they're still not satisfied at the end the price isn't what they were told the price was going to be originally you know like they had five or six different companies show up you know they hired this one company but they seen six different companies show up to do the work and none of them finish you know and stuff like that so I think really it's just reliability you know and just people to they say they're going to do it they do it. You know, that's kind of what we're not seeing down here.
What I not to get on a not to get on a down a down the road, but it like I've heard it seems very common up here for someone to like start a project, they haven't been paid anything, and like when they come to like a challenging part, they just leave it. Like on if they're doing like these couple day projects, I'm always very surprised. I'm like, man, I don't know how you're running a profitable business doing that. So yeah, finding a reliable handyman that you can trust, obviously very, very important down there. So is there like how do you decide, Matthew, like what's profitable and not profitable for you for like a time? Like you mentioned, you do a lot of drywall, a lot of painting. So that's pretty predictable, for the most part. I'm sure you run into like little hiccups here and there, but like what do you, at what point do you say no? Like if someone's like, can you do a bathroom remodel for me? I'm sure like you can, most definitely. And like, how do you decide what to say no to?
So for like for a bathroom remodel, for instance, I think it would just be based on my current schedule. You know, like I mean, I could be booked for a month, and naturally, I can't squeeze a bathroom in if I'm booked for a month. And so, if they're willing to wait, then you know, I'll get them on the schedule. What I generally say no to would be things that I think would require a very specialized field. You know, for like air conditioning units, I generally don't touch them. Like I tell them I'll be more than happy to overlook it to kind of see what I think would might be the issue to help them refine it with their AC guy when they call them. You know, like I don't work on roofs, for instance. Like, 'cause again, I think you need to be very, you know, you need to know what you're doing when you're on a roof. 'Cause one failed step and you're breaking something up there, you're causing severe water damage, and it's like you really need to know what you're doing. And a lot of that also has to do with like a concrete work and everything else. If you're working on concrete, you need to understand like the climate is different. You know, we're not in a temperate climate here. It's more of a tropical. So like the humidity level in the soil as well as the air changes, you know, how the concrete will dry. So I think it really comes with just like I'll show up to, and just kind of inspect the area. You know, I see what it takes to get the job done. If it requires something like for plumbing, for instance, like I'll tell somebody like, "Hey, I'll change your toilet for you. But if your flange is broken, I'm gonna have to refer you to a plumber." And it's not that I can't fix the flange; it's just it becomes too much task for me. It's like I go buy the right flange, you know, and I have to like, there's a lot more involved in it. And sometimes it does require tearing out the concrete, you know, because it's not just you have a crawl space you can get into. You know, everything is set on a slab, so that's also things you're gonna have to deal with, you know. So it really just depends on the specialty that may be required to do the project.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, that's yeah, it's a good way to look at it. And that's like that might like kind of bring this full circle, might be one reason why it is difficult to scale, because if you're trying to do that for like a new handyman that's on your team, it's like, what are they, like how do you have those conversations? How do you decide all that stuff? So yeah, that's very, yeah, very interesting. Do
I think if
you
I had a new guy on my team, I would take him with me to sites, you know, even if it's just a simple, you know, light bulb change out. Like just have him come in, like maybe I'll shadow him and see how he interacts with the clients and how he does his own troubleshooting steps, you know. As is, I'm really big on communication. So like I would tell the guys, like if you don't know, don't lie. You know, just be honest with me. Like if you can't handle it, like just wash your hands of it and walk away. Because the last thing you want to do is you want to take on a project that you think you could handle, but you're not 100% sure about it. And then you end up in knee deep water, you know, and now you're stuck with it. Now you have to try to explain to them how they have to now pay somebody else to come out and continue.
Right. Yeah. Which would be a complete nightmare.
Absolutely.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, that's awesome. So Matthew, what, like, you know, in the coming year, like, what are some things are you, yeah, is your game plan to like stay, keep scheduled out? You want to keep the schedule out, you know, 2-3 weeks, a month out, or like, what are you hoping to get done in the next year?
Yeah, just kind of keep on getting the clients coming in, you know, just, like I said, I'm working on getting that license together. So once I get that license, it can open up another door that's been closed for, you know, the past year, because I was getting calls, but they all started saying that they're getting a lot of heat from the county to actually follow through with, you know, the procedures, because previous HOA representatives did not do such thing. And then now they have all these fines and red tape they got to get through to go over all this illegal work, you know, that was done. Even if it was done to code, if you don't follow through the paperwork, they could still make you remove it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, just get the license together, get the door open back up for those clients that can't reach me, that, you know, need my work. And just, you know, like I said, I'm looking for somebody that I could possibly call. I think that I really start looking more heavily if I pick up a job that does require a second hand, for instance, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just pretty much it. Just keep advertisements going, and, you know, keep those reviews, you know, keep matching to those 5 stars. So,
oh yeah, for sure. Do you get a lot of work? A lot of people that just find you organically online, like through your website?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like most of my work, most of my new clients are from people searching, you know, handyman near me and stuff like that. You know, this is, they always say they go through a long list of guys. They call a few people. Sometimes, you know, somebody will show up, say they'll do the work, and then they'll wait 2-3 months waiting for this guy. And you know, then they eventually call me.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I was like, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to do it because I had this guy. He's like, but I called you, so let's see how you do. And then I end up, you know, just blowing it out of the water for them.
Yeah.
You know, and they get it solved. Or even so, like, if I can't even handle the project, I'll explain to them the situation that they're in and how, you know, who can they call to get the work finished.
Sure.
You know, because a lot of the times I'll show up to these houses, you know, for the instance, this lady, she had a little bit of damage behind her gutter on the fascia just below the roof. And I was looking at it, and I was like, well, from here, it looks like the gutter is the cause, because the roof was designed to not have a gutter. And then they installed a gutter by accident, she said. Somebody showed up, put a gutter up there, and it was the wrong call. So she just kind of left it. And so I suggested to her to possibly just have a roofing company come out and do an overlook on it, because it looks like it's more involved. I was like, I could fix it, but I just feel like there's a little bit more involved in it. It may require tile removing, just the way everything was installed. And sure enough, she said she's absolutely right. They had a roofing company come out, and they said there's a lot more involved than just a quick change out of a couple pieces of wood. And they were already there to fix the leak anyway, so it worked out great in her favor.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Well, that's good. Perfect. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here. It's obvious that you're doing a good job. And yeah, I think the handyman industry is a tough one to master. And it seems like you're doing really well and succeeding at that. You've got a Facebook page here. If people are interested in that, the Pratt Brothers Handyman. You've got your website, which is handymanpratt.com. Is there any other way that you'd like people to get a hold of you if they're wanting to reach out?
No, it's just, you know, most times getting a hold of me is the email and phone number, which are both provided on my Facebook page as well as my website.
Okay.
And you could also find me, you know, with Google search and everything. I'm on Nextdoor as well, you know, but it's super easy to find me. It's not very complicated.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, Matthew, thank you for taking the time to be on the Home Service Pro podcast today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.